In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, well, let's begin. We're gonna continue with volume 33, 2:10, 1934. But before that, it's in the readings today. God reminds us about the crossing of the Red Sea, and a friend of mine who was taking care of the servant of God, Father John Harden. Father John Harden said to him, and I think this is to all of us, he says, you will cross the Red Sea. Now, you got to remember what happened with the Red Sea. They were pushed up against the water. I mean, they're walking backwards, watching in a distance the Pharaoh's army running towards them to kill them, to destroy them. And this is where we are basically in the world today. Father John Harden's prophecy, the servant of God, Father John Harden, why did I say Brown? Said basically, you're going to cross the Red Sea. Okay, we are going to cross the Red Sea. It's going to look impossible. It's going to look like there's no solution. It's going to look as if there's no hope. And we go back to what Jesus told Saint Faustina, the final devotion that I give to the world is Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you, divine mercy. With this hope, Christian hope is certitude. With this hope. We have certitude. We are going to be pushed right against the water with no place to go. And it looks as if we're going to be destroyed. That's when we say, I trust in you. And if we haven't learned it, by that time, we won't be able to say it. We'll be screaming and panicking like all the Hebrews were doing at that time. God is going to have mercy on us. You have to understand that. God is not going to abandon his children. And this is why he has given us the book of heaven. The book of heaven is to give us hope of what's coming. And as you read, every day as you read, it becomes more and more and more magnificent. So, volume 33, 2:10, 1934. If you want to be the winner over everything, Jesus says, grow in the arms of my divine will. What does that mean? Go on to the lap of our Heavenly Father. Grow into the arms of God, the loving arms of God. It shall pour itself into you. The divine will pour itself into you. And you shall feel its divine life palpitating within you and shall raise you to its likeness, image and likeness. And you shall be its honor. You shall be its triumph and you shall be its glory. So the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is that we begin to live in the divine will. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we become like Jesus, image and likeness of Jesus. That's her triumph. That's why she said to Father Gobi that the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will begin in Mexico City. That's why she said to Father Gobi in 1997, Christmas of 1997, everything's done. Everything's come to an end. Everything's complete. How can it be complete? What do you mean complete? What has happened? What has happened is the Book of Heaven was released in 1996, and the first group that read the Book of Heaven was Acuña's group in Mexico City. They read 1 through 19. They knew the Italian. They learned 1 through 19. They studied 1 through 19 for years. And then finally, in 1996, they received the Book of Heaven, all 36 volumes. It was complete. Jesus says, when the book is released to the world, the face of the earth is going to be transformed. That's what's coming. the face of the earth has only begun to be transformed. And it's begun in the souls who are living in the divine will, who are striving to live in the divine will. Okay, peace, joy, and happiness. Once you become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, you're out of the divine will. But once you're, again, peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happy, then the kingdom is there. There's nothing to be afraid of. Even if the entire army of the Pharaoh is running at you full speed, you're going to cross the Red Sea. Good things are right around the corner. And God is asking us to begin to understand this and to live this. There's nothing to be afraid of. What does it say? Love casts out all fear. Absolutely. If you're afraid, something is wrong. Something is not right. Because if you trust in him, there is no fear. Volume 33, 616, 1934. This is why among all things we love the human will, because we, triune God, make it queen. And it, the human will, can tell us that it loves us and it can nourish our outpouring of love. It can engage in a contest with God. And we, in loving the human will, and the human will loving in loving us, this is why we endow with such prerogatives to the point of giving our likeness. This is where it comes from, the likeness. It is nothing but a simple act, and yet it is the hand, the foot, the voice of the, it is of its human being. So what's happening? As we learn to live this abundant life, we're responding back to God the way he originally planned. We're responding back to him with his divine, I love you. Not a human, I love you, but a divine, I love you. It's Jesus in us, Mary in us, the true life of Jesus and Mary, responding back to the Father. We are just giving our fiat to what God wants. It is nothing but a simple act, and yet it is the hand, the foot, the voice. It is human being. It is of human being. This human being is responding the way God originally planned. If the creature did not have a human will, she would be like the beasts, the slave of all, without the imprint of the divine nobility. So, as Jesus told Louisa, the universe was made for God. No, excuse me. Sorry about that. The human will was made for man. The universe was made for man. The human will was made for God. God is to reign in our human will. That's his temple, the human will. What Adam did was kick God out and said, no, I'm going to do it my way. And God, and we've been miserable ever since. We've fallen out of the image and likeness of God. So through holy baptism, when Jesus and Mary came to earth, they gave back to earth, to humanity, the Catholic faith, the universal life, the life that Adam had before the fall. So through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. And now with the Book of Heaven, we're learning how to enter into the likeness of God. Every time we read, we study, we put into practice these truths, we begin to be filled with a divine reality. God is teaching us divine things, divine secrets, divine treasures. That's what he says to Louisa. The Holy Spirit is filling you, Louisa, with all that is divine, so that you, through you, we can give, this can be given to humanity. So he says to Louisa, make sure you put everything down on paper. Make sure you put everything down on paper. And in volume 17, May 4th, 1925, what happened at that point, Jesus said, Louisa, did you put everything down that I told you? She goes, oh yes, I put everything down. This is the human condition. Oh yeah, I put everything down. And Jesus said, what if I told you you did not put down the most important thing about the divine will? What if I told you you didn't do that? She says, tell me again and I'll put it down on paper. And what does Jesus say? He said, the Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth to help humanity. So under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. This this great gift of the divine will is going to be given to the whole world. That's the prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. That's where we are right now. That's what's happening right now. Good things are coming. We're going to receive again the imprint of the divine nobility. Volume 33, 629, 1934. Now, once the creature has formed this magnet over us, pulling God towards mankind, he's saying, I'm giving you the power to pull me to you. Our love comes to excesses. As she forms her acts, even the littlest, we impress our divine coinage on them, and we make them pass as acts of our own. Jesus in us is doing it. God says, what you're doing now, I accept as Jesus doing it. It's a divine act now. Humans can't do divine acts. But what the divine will is Jesus, you and me, do this in me. I want you to reign. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. He says, with the imprint of our supreme image, and we place them among our divine treasures as coins of God's that the creature has given to us. And if you knew what it means to be able to say that our supreme being has received our divine coins, this currency of God, from a human, that are guaranteed by our image. This is what Jesus is doing, that we have ourselves have coined. Your heart would explode out of pure love. If you knew what this means for a human to give to God what is God's, your heart would explode with love. This is how Our Lady lived. This is how Our Lord lived. This is what they taught Louisa. Your heart would explode with love, realizing what our God has done in his infinite love for humanity. Our giving to the creatures is a power, a divine power that we, Triune God, have. As we, Triune God, possess everything, to give is nothing other than an outpouring of our divine love. But to put the creature in the condition of being able to give back to us, Triune God, and to give to us, Triune God, our own divine acts, not the humans, coins with the imprint of our divine image, this is the love that surpasses everything. No eye is seen, no ear is heard, what God is going to do for those who love him. And now he's giving back to humanity, through this little newborn Louisa, a new beginning. A new beginning for all of humanity. This is why we know that the time of the evil one is over. We know this. How do we know it? 1884, Pope Leo XIII heard the devil say to Jesus, give me 100 years. God said, it's yours. Last July, the Chinese government said, we've celebrated our 100th anniversary. What does that mean? It's over. The kingdom is now God. The kingdom of God is now going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. The devil is being crushed. His head is being crushed by our mother, Mary. And his tail is whipping all over the place, wrapping around everyone's legs, trying to trip us up, trying to get us afraid. His head is being crushed. It's over. Jesus says, now I want you to begin to live heaven on earth, because that's what's coming. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. The 2,000 years of praying the Our Father is being fulfilled in our sight. It doesn't matter if our back is pressed up against the water with the Pharaoh army coming right against us. God wins. God wins. And God's got surprising things that are coming. Surprising things that are coming. Just think about all those souls who were complaining. Where's the tiara? How come the Pope isn't wearing the tiara anymore? God has it all planned. He put the keys in Peter's hands 2,000 years ago. He knew the papal tiara was going to be gone. But what does he tell us? The Holy Father will have the papal tiara again. He will be the first to wear it for all the people living in the divine will. And all of us will have the crown. It's nothing to be afraid of. God's got everything planned. So he's asking us, he's pleading with us to receive this new beginning that he's giving to mankind. Guaranteed by our image that we ourselves coined. Your heart would explode out of pure love. Our giving to humanity is a power that we, triune God, have. And as we, triune God, possess everything, to give is nothing other than the outpouring of divine love to put the creature in the condition of being able to give back to God and to give to God our divine acts, not hers, coined with the imprint of our image. This is the love that surpasses everything. We're entering into this. Why worry? Why being fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? Look at what God is doing. As you read the book of heaven, you become filled with peace, joy, and happiness, such that, unable to contain it, in our emphasis of love, we say, you have wounded us. The magnet of your acts has captivated us and has rendered us sweet prisoners in your soul. And we give you tit for tat by wounding you, captivating you, and imprisoning you into ourselves. Therefore, my daughter, I, God, want you, all eyes, that you may look and know well what my divine will wants, what my divine will wants to do in you. This is what happens when you read the book of heaven. As Our Lady said, my soul magnifies the Lord. When you read the book of heaven, you begin to magnify God in a way that you never have before. He is teaching you about the secrets and the treasures that he has had hidden from the beginning of time. As soon as Adam sinned, the beginning of time, we were trapped in time and space. God is saying now to us, you're going to go back to paradise. Our Lady says that to Bruno in 1947. My children are going to go back to paradise where they belong. We're going to enter into eternity where we belong. The devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space. They will never enjoy the beatific vision. That's where we're going. That's where it's begun. How can you be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative if you're reading the book of heaven? You can't. You can't be. Anybody who's worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative and say that they're living in the divine will, they're not reading the book of heaven. It's impossible to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative and reading the book of heaven. Volume 33, 8, 5, 1934. We enclose in Adam the heaven of reason, the sun of intelligence, the rapidity of the wind in his thoughts, the expanse of space, the fortitude, the empire in his human will, in emotion in his soul, in which we, triune God, enclose these oceans of graces, the celestial air out of our divine love and all the senses of the body as the most beautiful flowerings. Jesus says to Louisa in volume 36, the human senses were made for God. We're to see God and to hear God and to smell God and to touch God and to taste God. And as Catholics, it's already begun. So Jesus says, oh, you're a Catholic? Okay. How often do you look at me? How often do you fall in love with me? How often do you hear me? So if we're going to church, we're listening to the word of God. We're hearing Jesus speak to us. If we are receiving Holy Communion, we're tasting God. We're looking at God in the monstrance. If the incense is there, we're smelling the odor of sanctity. If we hold hands with our brothers and sisters in praying at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we're two or more gathered. I am there. The Catholic senses are coming alive. They're not fully alive yet. I mean, wait till you see what's coming. It's a new beginning. We're just beginning to glimpse what God wants for us. It's a new beginning that's coming, this flowering, as he says. It's a new beginning that God wants us to experience. He says very, very clearly, "Oh man, how beautiful you are. You're in God's image and likeness. But not yet satisfied, we place in him the great Son, S-U-N, of our divine will, and we gave him the great gift of the word, Jesus, so that with deeds and words he might be the eloquent narrator of his God. He was our image, Adam, that we delighted and enriched with our most beautiful divine qualities, not human qualities, divine qualities. That's what we're going back to. That's why when you read what Our Lady teaches Luisa, the six steps of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, we're going to go back to be receiving the divine qualities of God. That's why we were made. Not human qualities, but divine qualities. 533, 514, 1935. My daughter, you must know. Again, that book, read it. That one who lives in my divine will gives everyone work to do. Everyone. Okay, what's happening? Come, Lord Jesus, breathe in my breathing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Everyone who takes a breath, you're saying to God, everybody who breathes, let that be, and I love you back to you when they breathe out. Lord Jesus, may everyone whose heart beats, may that be a beating of love going to you. I adore you. I love you. I praise you. Gives everyone work to do. My Celestial Father, seeing his creature in his most holy divine will, places himself around the soul to form the works of his image and likenesses. More so, since in finding his will in the soul, he finds the adaptable material and suitable material to receive his work to form the most beautiful image that resembles him. That's the divine masterpiece. We're going to resemble God. And oh, God's contentment. For with his work, God can produce his own images. That's what God is doing. How can you be sad? How can you be complaining? If you're complaining, you're not reading. If you're negative, you're not reading. You read and watch what God will do. Everything, you become free of all of the fallen human nature. All of it, sooner or later. It depends on how much you want it. You want it 30, 60, or 100-fold. Then you got to prove it to Jesus that you want this life. Volume 33, 531, 1935. The divine volition seems to say to me, how happy I am that you feel, you know, that the life of your thought and of your heartbeat and all of yourself is I. God is saying, how happy I am that you feel, that you know that the life of your thought, the life of your human heartbeat is all, and all of yourself is God. That's the exchange. Lord, it's not my will anymore. It's your will that reigns in me. I want you to have full life in me. I don't want even a breath anymore. I want you to breathe in my breathing. I want you to beat in my heart beating. You feel me inside of yourself and I feel you within me. We are both happy. The two of us to be one, going back to that prime act of God. This is my most holy divine will, that the soul feel, the soul know that I am there together with the soul. I lower myself to all her acts, every thought, every word, every deed, as much as she wants. And I do them together with the soul to give her the likeness of my life and of my divine things. Oh, how much it grieves me when souls put me aside and do not recognize my dominion. Do you think by chance the word dominion is repeated almost daily today? God wants us to know it has to be his dominion. The other dominion is corrupt. The other dominion is a lie. God says, he makes it very clear. He talks about masks. Jesus talks about masks. He says, why is he talking to us about masks? Why is he talking to us about dominion? He's trying to wake us up. It's not what's human that's important. What's important is divine. He says, I want to free you of your masks. That's what Jesus says to Louisa. You have to understand everything that we're going through now, even though this was written 100 years ago, is for our time now. Father Bucci said, St. Francis was for his time. Louisa is for our time. Everything that Jesus taught Louisa is going to happen now. Because now is the time. Now, it basically, Jesus says to Louisa, this fullness of time, as it was the fullness of time for the kingdom of redemption. Jesus says, now it's the fullness of time for the kingdom of the third fiat. The fiat voluntas tua. This is where we are. What a great time to be alive. Jesus got everything planned. So he says, this is what he's saying to us. He says very, very, very clearly. As soon as I find it. So it is not the diversity. Wait. Okay, the divine operating. What God does, I do as well. He says, does it seem like nothing? Is that where I am? Let me see. Volume 30, 31. 33. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the paragraph above. Sorry. Once I take my finger off the page, I lose my thought. I lose my place. Okay. So do you not recognize my dominion that I am the one who forms their life? So God is doing this. This is a great time to be alive. Volume 33, 10, 4, 1935. Just by doing my divine will, even though it might seem one does nothing, it is not true. The creature already finds herself together with the divine operating and can say, what God does, I do as well. Jesus breathed in my breathing. Jesus says, it will be as if you're breathing. He says, but I am going to do this for you. Jesus breathed in my breathing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, all of humanity with that one heartbeat is saying to God, from the beginning, from Adam to the last person, I love you. That's one heartbeat. Every breath, I love you. That's one breath. Now think about it. God is now saying the billions of I love yous are going to the throne of God continuously. Continuously, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. This is how Adam lived. This is how Jesus lived. This is how Mary lived. What does that mean? The devil is furious. He thought he stopped this I love you with the fall of Adam. He thought he stopped the I love you when Jesus and Mary left the earth. With Louisa, It's resounding in everybody who's reading the book of heaven. This explosion of I love yous are going to the throne of God. What is that doing? bringing the throne of God on earth as in heaven, so the evil one has to leave. What is Jesus saying? The soul, together with the divine operating, can say, what God does, I do as well. Does this seem like nothing to you? God does everything. And then the soul takes part in everything. So it is not the diversity of the actions or the offices that can make the creature say that she does great things, but it is the most holy divine will that gives them the value, that nullifies them, that puts them in the divine order and places the image on them as the seal, the stamp of its works. This is of God. This is the children of God doing this. The little children in the holy divine will. How are we doing this? We're learning from Louisa the true life of Jesus and Mary. We're learning how to do this. The face of the earth is changing. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, the time has now come to an end. That's why Our Lady said to Father Gobi, the triumph has begun in Mexico City, she states. How can that be? They're reading the Book of Heaven and putting it into practice. It's happening all over the world. The evil one is furious. The evil one is filled with rage. His kingdom is coming to a screeching halt. God wins. And God is asking us to fight with the weapons of love of the divine will that he wants to give to all the world. Volume 34, 12-2, 1935. My blessed daughter, when the creature does and lives in the divine will, our supreme being darts through her with its divine light continuously. This is what we talked about. Not a nimbus of light, not a halo of light. Emanating from each soul in the divine will is divine light. And the more that we do this, the greater the light becomes. It's the true life and light and love of Jesus and Mary. It darts through her mind. It casts the nobility of the divine thoughts in such a way that the soul feels her intelligent memory and will, the three powers that God has given us, the sanctity, remembrance of her creator, the love of the will and of the will of he who, assuming the role of actor, forms in it the divine order, the divine wisdom, and darting through it with its kisses of divine light, it casts the seed of substance back into the mind of the human. It's God that's God thinking in our thinking. That's why when you read our dogma and doctrine, you go, oh, that's what it's God speaking to us. Now Jesus is saying, I want this voice of God, if you want to say, echoing through you in such a way that everything is noble, everything is holy, everything is sacred in that soul. God is there. And God is purifying. He says, I must purify my church. I must purify the world, because what is coming is so beautiful. The world and the church is not ready for it. It's not worthy of it yet. So the purification is taking place. Good. Good. God is in charge. Don't think that God's not knowing what's happening or God is not in charge. God is ruling. And he's saying, we're wrapping up everything. He says, basically, the kingdom's coming. What side do you want? What side are you on? I have to give you what you want. So what does Jesus say to Louisa? I have to release all the demons, because that's what humanity wants. Let's just think of Halloween. Death was shown on Halloween with the light. Goblins and witches and warlocks and skeletons and ghosts and bats with delight. Evil faces with delight. And it wasn't just one house in a town. It wasn't just one room in a school. It was filled, because that's what people want. Look how they live. God says, I have to give you what you want. Who are the souls that are trying to live heaven? In your own family, in your neighborhood, in your parish, who is trying to give up everything that is not of God? Who's trying to give up worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin? Are we doing it? It's not to point the fingers. It's to say, how are we living? Let's look at your family. Everybody who was born Catholic in your family, your extended family, where are they? It's not to say they're wrong. It's you have to say, Lord Jesus, I want them in heaven like you want them in heaven. I will take their place by praying in the divine will, adoring you and loving you and praising you and thanking you and blessing you. I want nothing of earth, and I want to do it for them. So when the time comes, they can say yes to you, Jesus. Yes to you, Mary. See what it says here. And darting through it with kisses of light, cast the divine substance into their minds in such a way that everything is divinely noble. Everything is holy. Everything is sacred. This actor of my volition, forming a swelling in the created intelligence with its power and mastery, forms in it its image. This actor of my divine will takes the office of an insuperable artisan and of transforming God in the creature and the creature in God. A divine masterpiece. That's what's coming. A divine masterpiece. Volume 34, 1-4, 1937. Our divine will knows how to make things that do not resemble it. The first thing is it casts into them the likeness to us because it wants to find itself in the operating act and carries in the creature. Otherwise, it would say, he is not like me. Therefore, he does not belong to me. If, on the other hand, it is not recognized and not loved, then the creature forms the sorrow of my volition, even though it runs in each act of the creature. And if it did not run, it would take its life. So here, Jesus is saying, I've got everything planned. And he's asking us to cooperate with him so that it can be accomplished. Volume 34, 6-18, 1937, you must know that our creation did not end with man because it was interrupted with Adam withdrawing from my most holy divine will. And since it was not reigning in Adam, we could not trust Adam. And therefore, the continuation of our created work remained as though suspended. Think of what God is just saying here. What he planned for eternity of Adam and his children was stopped. 4,000 years later, Jesus comes to earth to redeem mankind. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. 2,000 years later, Jesus says, finally, finally, I have a newborn where I can begin to continue where I left off with Adam. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. Listen to what he says. He says, therefore, the continuation of our created work in mankind has remained as though suspended. Okay, what does this mean? Hang on to your hat. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything. The angels don't even know what's coming. What God has planned for his children is beyond description. This is why we, triune God, anxiously await mankind's return back into our arms of our fiat, that humanity may let the divine will reign. Then, when the divine will begins to reign, come divine will, breathe in my breathing, come divine will, beat in my heart beating. This is the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, rounds of sanctification. Then we shall resume the continuation of creation. Creation is not yet done. It's stopped. It's paused. With the fall of Adam, it paused. Jesus came to redeem as the new Adam. Mary came to co-redeem with Christ as the new Eve. It's beginning again where God stopped. Stop. You're out of my will. How can I give you anything more? Jesus comes to earth to what? He teaches us how to do the will of God through the saints, through our dogma and doctrine. Now Jesus says, now I want you to be sanctified, to return back for this continuation of creation. Oh, how many beautiful things we triune God shall do. We triune God shall give us surprising gifts. Our divine wisdom shall put out all of its divine art. And oh, how many beautiful images that resemble us triune God shall it issue from its divine light. This divine light again, beautiful images that resemble us triune God that shall issue from its divine light, all beautiful, all distinct, one from another, one in divine sanctity, one in divine power, one in divine beauty, one in divine love, one in divine, all the infinite gifts of God. We're going to be uniquely different from one another. Why do we have different fingerprints, different irises, different voices, sizes, shapes? God loves our uniqueness. Wait to see how unique we're going to be. We're going to delight with heaven on earth. God is not finished yet. He's not finished. Let's look at the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the second day, the morning of the third day. There's no morning or evening of the seventh day. Why? This is the seventh day. John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. That's the seventh year. That's the seventh millennium, the seventh day. Get ready. The great things are coming. Great things are coming. Again, everything that's going to resemble God from this divine light, all beautiful, all distinct, one from another, sanctity, power, beauty, love, gifts. It's going to be glorious. Volume 34, 7/25, 1937. I don't know how, Louisa says, but I felt myself being transported into the celestial fatherland in the midst of three circles of light, at the top of which there was the Queen of Heaven on one side, our Lord on the other, and with enchanting beauty and unspeakable love, Jesus and Mary. And between these was a multitude of souls, listen to this, all transformed into the light in which they lived, in which they grew, but kept, directed, and nourished by Jesus and Mary, the celestial mother. This is the new Adam, the new Eve that we are being nourished by, fed by. How many surprises could be seen? These souls possess the likeness and life of God, their creator. And my sweet Jesus and his mother told me, these circles of light that you see are symbols of the sacrosanct Trinity, and the souls are those who shall form the kingdom of the divine will. This kingdom shall be formed within the bosom of the divinity. We haven't seen anything yet. God is saying to us, let go of your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. Let go of everything. Let go of everything. It's a new beginning that's coming. Don't be worried. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Jesus says, all you who are worried and fearful, come to me. Come to me. He says, come to my heart. He wants to fill us with his peace, his joy, and happiness. So what has Jesus done? He's made it easy for us by reading the Book of Heaven, the title that Jesus gave to Louisa. This is the Book of Heaven. It is from heaven. It's not Louisa's thoughts. It's not Louisa's, you know, thinking about, oh, I think this is what Jesus said. It's dictated to her by Jesus Christ and the Blessed Mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. You can't find these writings in any other book. You get hints of it with the saints, but the depth of this, you can't find anywhere. You can't find anywhere except for in the Book of Heaven. As you read this, your whole life changes. Everything that you've ever wanted to know, it becomes alive in you. Why? God has this planned. He's planned for us to read it, us to study it, us to put this into practice. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we'll be back in 15 minutes.